You're almost always closer than you think. It is difficult for you to see how close you are when you are in the middle. Many times the secret, the linchpin, is going one more day. Just go another day. Only the efforts of the consistent create momentum. It's the difference between the process and the prize. How do you become unstoppable is you begin to get addicted to the process, not the prize.
What if you could build a business in the modern world as big or as small as you want without having to compromise the things that were the most important to you in the very beginning? This is the Wealthy Consultant Talks podcast with Taylor Welch and Mike Walker, as they share with you today their learning lessons from stories and their experiences over the past 10 to 15 years and share with you right here, right now. Let's get into it.
What we're going to talk about today in the time allotted is we're just going to go through and synthesize a bit of the material from the last 6 years that I have developed on the mental game of success, the mental game of success. So if you want a title for this, the title would just be winning. That's it. There's no other title that's appropriate. The only title that is fitting for what we're going to talk about today is winning. That's it. How you win comes down to how you think. How you think comes down to two things: what you know, and then your discipline levels around what you know. It's one thing to be intelligent. It's another thing to be disciplined with the things that you have learned. Does this make sense? So I found this to be very, very challenging in the last year for me. In fact, literally this morning, I was sitting down with my wife, Lindsay. We have two kids now. And so life at home is a little crazy. And so we came up with this incredible idea. It's called just wake up earlier than everybody else and sit outside by the pool and have a daily date with some coffee before the kids wake up. And it's been awesome. If you're married and you have kids, I highly recommend it if you can swing it. And I was telling my wife this morning, it has been difficult the last year. You guys have no idea the things that I've been fighting off and dealing with in the last year. And I can't wait to talk to you about it. But it has been a challenging, challenging, challenging season for me. If anybody can relate, say aye and throw it in. If not, that's okay. I'll just be the only one. I'll just be over here being challenged by myself. And you can learn the lessons from it. And I've been challenged with the difference between what I have always known and what I've always preached and talked about. There's a difference between knowing something intellectually and being able to consistently practice it in real day-to-day life. True? So one of the biggest things that I've really come into realization of is that knowing something doesn't actually save you. But being able to do that thing that you know, that's level one. Do that thing that you know consistently, that's level two. Do that thing that you know effortlessly, that's level three. Talking about layers of mastery here. Can you do the thing that you know? Great. Good for you. That's step number one. Can you do the thing that you know consistently? Great. That's step number two. Number three, can you do the thing that you know to do effortlessly? Effortlessly. What does this mean? It means it's gotten its way into your habitual central nervous system. It no longer requires discipline. It has been converted into a habit. And the way that I have taught this historically is, number one, am I enjoying simply the passage of time? How do you know if you're doing what you know to do effortlessly? Because you enjoy just the day going into the next day. Can you enjoy the passage of time? And then secondarily, does the passage of time in and of itself take you closer to your desired outcomes? This is deep. This is rich. This is a level of scientific organization that most people will never get to. And I'm just basically taking it and cutting it up into different blocks. So just be honest with you, yourself, with us, if you want to put it in the chat. Number one, are you enjoying the passage of time right now? And number two, is the passage of time in and of itself taking you closer to your desired outcomes? Now, you have to answer yes to both of these questions to be in a full flow state. because every one of us can enjoy the passage of time, but then we're not getting closer to our goals. And so you're enjoying just living in a bit of a spin out. And then it's also very popular and common to move closer to your goals, but you're not enjoying the passage of time or the progress towards the goals, in which case you are going to burn out. It's simply a matter of time. When you look at your time, you organize your time. It's a great book on this called Die Empty. One of the easiest and most fulfilling ways to organize the passage of time appropriately is to organize the things that you must do into three different categories. And this is the author of Die Empty. You can write these down. He says there's three different types of goals. There's the stretch goal. This is the long thing that you're trying to get to. The stretch goal would be a 10-year target or a 6-year target or a 20-year target. This is a stretch. What does it mean to stretch? It means it's hard. It's like, how do you know you have a stretch goal? When someone is like, you're going to do it? You're like, yeah, I'm going to try, right? That's a stretch goal. Everybody like wants to be like, you have to be absolutely certain that you're going to do everything. Not necessarily, because there are things that are really good for the human spirit to be pushing against some target or resistance or constraint. And it's just a bit beyond your current competency or confidence to do that. Number two would be a sprint goal. So be like a 3-month, maybe a 12-month. You're going to go through a sprint. How many of you have had the conversation with your spouse or significant other? How many of you have had to have this conversation? Hey, I'm about to go into a sprint. It's going to get a little crazy for a little bit. I have several times. This is a sprint goal. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. You're going to go into it and come out of it. And then the third would be a step goal. The step goals, these are the things that should happen automatically. These are the things that should be a daily process for you. If you guys have listened to the old legacy mindset tapes or recordings, rather, the consistency fells the mighty oak. I think it was from this one many years ago. We're talking in that series about step goals. By the way, you guys need to know you have access to all of this. It's like 150 hours of content for you. It's organized into there's really, really old stuff when I was just coming up for the first time. And it's fascinating listening to those recordings because I was just like a kid and didn't have kids, like married, but barely. So when I listened to them, I'm like, man, the concepts here are great. But, you know, I didn't really know what I was doing. Write this down. All success is preceded by failure. All success is preceded by failure. This is by definition. It's scientifically impossible for success to precede the failure. The failure must precede the success. When you start something new, you are engaging in the act of doing something you are not equipped to do and failing your way. You see what I'm saying? All success is preceded by failure, most of the times by many failures. This is the definition of getting started with something. So when you get into something new, the problem is not necessarily that it's difficult to do. The problem is you don't know how to do it. And what I've learned is from a mindset perspective to reorient myself around, instead of calling it failure, it's simply practice. One of the easiest ways to make it through failure or through practice is to set the proper expectations and the proper clarity that it will take time to get good at things that are worth getting good at. It will take time to get good at things that are worth getting good at. One more time. It will take time to get good at things that are worth getting good at. This is something to keep in mind for you. The person who can pass through the fires of failure will win the prize. I've noticed humans are extremely obsessive about regression. I am learning Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu right now, and I have really no problem getting beat up because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm used to it. I'll go to a class tomorrow. I'll be there training Friday afternoon. And it's not uncommon for me to just like sit there like an idiot and try to escape, knowing that I'm not going to escape. You guys know what I'm talking about? Has anybody ever done BJJ? If not, you're missing out, and lucky you at the same time. No, the problem is not failure at the beginning. I'm about to hit some of you right now. The problem with most humans is that when we begin to win, we forget how to lose. You're likely never going to have an issue starting something brand new with failure because it's brand new. But the problem comes, and most of you have experienced this, when you're pretty good at business, or you're pretty good at being a father or a mother, you're pretty good at this or that or the other. And then you go to a new level and you begin to fail at the new level and you're going, what in the world? I thought I had already made it through this. New levels, new what? This is the thing about life, is its cyclicity. It's new levels, new devils. And so it feels better to go from $100,000 a year of income to $500,000 of income. It feels better to go from 100 to 500 than it is to go from 3 million to 2 million. Why is this? Because human beings are obsessed with regression. You have to learn how to pass through the fires of failure every time you get to a new level. There's a new devil. Number two, we're going old on some of this. Number two, write it down. Speak like a sheep, act like a sheep. How many of you remember this from the legacy? Speak like a sheep, act like a sheep. You know, sometimes the thing that feels the most good, or the thing that feels the most releasing, or the thing that feels the best, is actually the worst possible ingredient for your success. Not all things should be followed according to the way they make you feel. I can tell you this, I've made this error several times in the last 6 to 8 months of getting frustrated with something and beginning to speak about the thing that I'm frustrated with and speak about the situation in a way that disempowers, it takes away my power in the situation. If you read old self-help, I think it's The Greatest Salesman in the World, maybe, or The Richest Man in Babylon, I can't remember. He has a line in there. He says, I will hear not those who are weak. I will hear not those who are weak. One of the worst things that you can do is give a voice to things. And by the way, when you say, I will hear not those who are weak, that includes yourself. Just for the record, sometimes that includes your own damn voice. Like, be quiet. Do not give voice to the things that are causing you angst. When you speak it, you make it real. You know, they have studies now on this that audible language reverberates in time forever. It just gets smaller and smaller and smaller in frequencies. And so when you speak something, you are printing it into the permanent record of history. And it's bouncing out there forever, which would not be a problem if words were only things that we heard. But words are energy signatures that you can feel. That's why. Have you ever been on a call with me or someone else or whoever? Have you ever watched something and in watching it or listening to it, it makes you tear up or it moves you? Sometimes I'll be listening to something like, man, you put on some T.D. Jakes, who, by the way, is one of the best communicators in history. Sometimes I'll be just like working out, listening to T.D. Jakes. And man, all of a sudden, I just like, oh, I'm about to cry. Turn T.D. Jakes off. Like, I'm supposed to be working out right now. T.D. Jakes is making me cry right now. How is that possible? Because words have an energy signature to them. And you will feel it sometimes before you hear it. So if you attach this importance to the things that you say, how many of you are like, oh, I need to be quiet on some things? Because you are speaking about things in a way that is impacting the way you feel about your chances of success. It will change the way other people feel about their chance of success, and it will never go away. Your language is one of the greatest hacks to level up your identity. It will change the way you feel. some of y'all might be in a position where you're like losing. The title of this is winning. How do you reconcile that? Well, you begin speaking as if you're winning. It's crazy. These are things that work, and we don't not do them because they're hard to do. We don't do them because we don't believe that they will work. Does that distinction make sense? Number three, write it down. You are almost always closer than you think. How painful would it be to wire the money for a new house you're going to move your family into or a new vehicle, and you send the money and you don't hear from the broker, you don't hear from the salesperson, you don't hear from the agent, and you start getting a little concerned. Hey, well, I sent money for this car. Where's the car? I sent money for this house. Where's the house? And you send the money and you never get the thing you sent the money for. How many of you would be frustrated by that? How many of you would probably talk and share that story with other people? And me, you'd be calling the news. You'd be calling attorneys. You'd be calling whoever you could, because you, when you send the money for something, you expect to get what you paid for, right? In life, we spend the money in terms of not dying. We survive. We go through the resistance. We go through the issues. We go through the trauma. We go through the pressure. And then what I've seen more times than I can count is somebody will go through the price of admission to be there. And right before they get the thing they paid for, they bounce. They out. You're almost always closer than you think. It is difficult for you to see how close you are when you are in the middle. Many times the secret, the linchpin, is going one more day. Just go another day. Number four, only the efforts of the consistent create momentum. Only the efforts of the consistent create momentum. Doing the right thing because it is the right thing, no matter what the results are. It's the difference between the process and the prize. You know, a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of people who have big goals and they want to do big things in their life. If you really break all of the facade away, they're really engaging in a transactional chasing of a reward. They just want the prize. How do you become unstoppable is you begin to get addicted to the process, not the prize. My friend, Dan, he loves to run marathons and he does these crazy, you know, like Ironmans, and at this point, he does not even care about winning. He wants to run. He loves to train. I asked him one time, I said, man, why are you doing another Ironman? You just did one. Because for me, I'm like, if I'm going to do an Ironman, I got to have a reason. I ain't getting out there doing Ironman just because it's fun, because it's not fun. And he's like, you know what he told me? He said, I love the training. I love training for something. I love preparing for something. It changes how I operate. I wake up in the morning and I've got something to push for. And he said, it changes the way that I handle stress and pressure in my business as well. You can develop consistency when you fall in love with the process. So when you take the lesson from the mighty oak, consistency fells the mighty oak. It's just one day at a time. Every day is one strike against the mighty oak. Think about this massive tree. You're slowly chopping it, chopping away at it. You're not going to chop one time and see results. You might not chop two times and see results, but after 500, 700, 900, you start seeing results. So here's a question for you. How long can you be consistent with your process without seeing the tree fall over, without seeing the results? It's a good question for you to ask, is it not? If you want to get to 500, 700, 1,000, you've got to turn the process into something that is addicting. You love it because you love it. You don't love it because you get your way at the end of it. Number five, complacency is life's greatest temptation. Complacency is life's greatest temptation. I think some of you have probably gone through a process recently where you've lowered your goals because of a new counting of the cost. I think some of you probably have maybe felt the way that I have felt in the past when I'm fatigued. It's like, maybe I'll lower my goals so that it's less uncomfortable. I'll lower my goals because I just need a season to enjoy. I was talking with a friend this morning who's going through a business separation, and he's phenomenally talented, but he's been in a partnership for a long time, and it's no longer something that he wants to do. And he said, you know, I think I'm just going to kind of like do nothing for a little bit and see how it goes. I said, man, take as much time as you need because you're tired and you're fatigued. But don't for a minute think that you're not an empire builder, because that shit runs in your blood. Don't lower the level of your goals because the process has been difficult. The answer is not to lower the level of your goals. The answer is to change the relationship you have with the process. I'll say it again. The answer is not to lower the level of your goals. The answer is to change the relationship you have with your process. I was talking with the team member about a month ago because I've been going through a process, been going through some stuff where I'm just like, hey, this is not fun for me to deal with. And there was a video that popped up on my Instagram, and it's of someone running a marathon, ironically enough, because I hate to run. So I'm like, well, it would be a sport that I hate. He's running. He's at mile like 50. And he's exhausted. And one of his best friends is running with him. And he says, you know what's crazy about me? I don't get tired. The guy's like, shut up. You're an idiot. And I don't get tired. I don't get tired. And this man began to change his words. And he began to fall in love with the pain. And this might seem like a masculine thing to do, but it's actually not. It's just as feminine. It's just as present in the feminine energy sequence as it is with the masculine energy sequence, because there's nothing harder than being a mom. Nothing. And yet, if you're a mom, you probably love being a mom. Don't make this like a masculine versus feminine thing. No, the things that are important to you, you change your relationship with them because they are important to you. And it can be hard as hell, but you're saying, yeah, this is what I'm called to do, and so I'm going to fucking love it. I'm going all in. Raise your goals back up. The problem with lowering your goals to make it more comfortable is that you can spiral into this place of obscurity where you've lowered your goals once. It's easier to lower them again. It's easier to lower them again. I want like every single person leaving this call, you need to take your goals back up to where they were before you were tired. And persist. Because that's the name of the game. I don't know where that one came from, but have fun with that. Seeing versus creating. Let's tackle this real fast. Energy in nature is creative. It is a creative experience. So what we want to do when we go about our business and we go about our lives, like this week would be a great week to start, is ask yourself, where can I invest energy into creating an ideal outcome? Where can I invest energy into creating an ideal outcome? I was on a coach, mindset coach with somebody 2 weeks ago. And she said, you can actually think about this by segmenting your life into past and future. The present, we don't have any, we're not going to do anything with the present. The present is nowness. The present is, it is what it is. But you see people able to actually get into this posture where they are creating, 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 and they never run out of energy. They don't get tired. They don't slow down. They don't get hit the same way. And here's the difference. She said, the past, when you focus on the past, you naturally have an inclination towards defending. This is true. Justification is just a form of defending. Versus when you keep your mind on the future, you have a natural inclination towards design. Designing and defining versus defending and justifying. So the question for the week, for the month, for the quarter, for the year, for the decade, whatever it is what can I invest energy into this week to create an ideal outcome? And when you put yourself into this posture, you naturally notice a lift in your energy because you are now creating and you're creative in nature. We're all creative types of people. When you're looking at the past, the temptation is to defend or to justify, which has a related cousin whose name is comparison. There is no comparison in the future. Comparison lives in the past. You get what I'm saying here? It's like, how many of you have ever struggled with comparison? You know that you're in a position of looking backwards when comparison is the dominant trend in how you're thinking. To do what I'm talking about doing requires a skill called metacognition. Metacognition is thinking about how you're thinking. It's like literally sitting down thinking, how do I think about this thing? How do I think about a certain person or myself? Whenever you're comparing, you are naturally in the past and you've got to get into the future. The reason we know this, there's no utility in the past outside of grabbing a set amount of lessons and moving on, is because one of the first things we learned is that you have to separate the facts that you are uncovering. You have to separate the things that you know into two different categories. You can't just take, well, this is a fact and this is not a fact. That's not how you separate them. You have to actually separate your facts into two different categories. The first category is useful. The second category is not useful. True or false, there are things that I know as fact that are not useful or irrelevant to me. You know, there is certain types of attention that doesn't inspire action. Understanding and intellect and knowledge and all these things, they're the same way. There's certain things that I know that are not useful to me. How do I know if it's irrelevant? How do I know if it's useless? How do I know that there's no utility? Let me give you three telltale signs. Number one, there's nothing you can do about it. If there's nothing you can do about it, it doesn't really matter. Nothing I can do about it, can't control it. I can't change who's president. I've never been able to change who's president. It doesn't really matter who's president. I can't really do anything about it. Not right now. I can obviously go vote, but you see what I'm saying right now. People lose their peace. They lose their sanity over this. My God, it's crazy. I can't change what time the sun goes down tonight, so I shouldn't worry about it. I might know what time the sun goes down because I can look it up, but it's not useful for me. Number two, it's already been dealt with. How do you know if something's not useful? It's already been dealt with. I've already dealt with it. Somebody else has already dealt with it. It's done. Number three, and this is the big one, and this is where it gets real. How do we know if something's not useful? If it's something that produces a weaker, slower, or more fearful version of yourself. Oops. This is the big one, isn't it? This is the tough one. There are things that can be true, but because of the version of you that they produce, they are not worth knowing. And I have curriculum on this that basically segments down into the types of learning. And believe it or not, there are three different types of learning, not just one. First, there's the things that I need to learn for the first time. Second, there are the things that I need to learn for the second, third, 10th, 100th time. I need to relearn them. Third would be the things that I need to unlearn. They are no longer useful for me to know it. So this would be an interesting exercise for you today is what are the things that might be true that I might know, but because of the version of myself that they produce, I no longer need to know this and therefore I'm going to unlearn it. And lastly, we'll talk about comparison because I think comparison is the kingpin in most societies with social media. How many of you have wrestled with comparison recently or notice yourself comparing yourself to someone else when setting goals, when thinking about who you are, when thinking about what you want? 1000% I'll raise my hand for this because I'm human. Here are six things that comparison does to you, and then we'll wrap up. This is why comparison is such a negative thing. And when we talk about comparison, you can easily fit comparison into the third pillar of things that are not useful. Number one, it inflates the success of other people. It creates a false narrative in your minds about what is true and what is not true. Comparison inflates the success of other people. Number two, comparison lessens the cost that others paid to get there. Comparison breeds jealousy because when you're jealous of someone, you do not realize the pain that they went through to get what they got. How about instead of craving what someone else has, flip yourself around and begin to crave what they paid to get it. Oh, it'll go away. It'll go away. It'll go real fast. People used to do this to me all the time. They do it to me now. Like, man, must be nice to have that. Must be nice to have this. Must be nice to have reach. We look at my friends sometimes. I got friends that are way more famous than I am. Man, it must be nice to have that. But I don't actually want to pay the price that they paid to get what they got. Comparison lessens the cost that others paid to get there. Number three, comparison distorts our own internal view of progress. The pinnacle of human fulfillment is not getting the prize. The pinnacle of human fulfillment is feeling the progress towards the prize. You will be way happier in the middle chasing the outcome than you will achieving the outcome. Ask me how I know. Number four, comparison halts our ability to enjoy the little moments. Because for us to enjoy the moment, we have to disconnect from the outcome. Comparison is always about the outcome. Comparison is never about the process. Number five, comparison dulls our senses and our instincts, and it over-indexes on what other people have. Number six, comparison confuses our moral compass and our sense of personal accomplishment.